Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is your girl DJ Carmi of KPTR Party Train Radio, and you are now tuned in to KPTR, The Truth Behind the Music. And today we have with us an independent artist, Real Life. What's up? It's good to have you on
What's
the show
up?
Today.
Thank you, darling. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no doubt. It's our pleasure. So what we want to do is kind of get straight into the life of Real Life. And we want you to take us back to when you first fell in love with hip-hop. Let's start from the beginning.
Oh, man. It wasn't a specific time, I suppose, but I remember when I was a kid, I used to have this little red radio, and I used to be chilling in my room like all day long, you know, when there was no school or nothing like that, just listening to the music on the radio. And I used to like when the musician would shout their city or their name, whatever, I would replace their name in the city with mine, you know, and just sing all the lyrics, stuff like that. Like I used to do that like all day long, you know. And that was my thing.
Awesome. So, how old were you?
Oh, man, I must have been, I don't know, 10, maybe 11, or around that.
So, when you were doing this, who would you say was, you know, your favorite? Who was your favorite artist back then?
Honestly, I didn't have a favorite. I mean, I really enjoyed, like, all the different styles of music. Like, growing up in my household, there was so much musically going on. Like, my older sister was, like, really into country music. My mom was into old school R&B. My dad liked jazz music, you know. So, like, music in general was always going on in my house. So, I didn't really, like, have a particular artist. I just enjoyed the sounds, you know.
Gotcha. So, nobody else in the home, like, actually did rap or sing or played an instrument?
Oh, my mom used to sing back in the day. She sang in some church stuff and she did like some backup singing for this group. And my father used to actually DJ back in New York. He's from the East Coast. He used to be a DJ back in his day. my grandmother was a go-go dancer, so she used to be like at the clubs, you know, doing her thing and stuff like that.
Do you guys have any footage of that? Any pictures of Grandma?
Oh yeah, we do actually. Yeah, she got their little fro. She got her afro and her little Daisy Dukes on.
Man, that is awesome. Because most of the artists that I talk to, there's always someone in the background that already has seed, and a lot of times they don't know who it is if it's not your parents. You don't know who it is, but it could be those grandparents or great-grandparents. So, well, that's good to know, because you always have music in your background, like most of us, you know.
Yeah.
So, growing up, can you remember the first song or the first rap that you put together?
I don't remember the words, but I do remember that it was trash. It was trash. It was a lot of N-words, you know, it was trash. I was trying too hard, you know, like trying to be cool to say whatever, but I'm glad I never like pushed the record, you know.
Yeah, and you know what? It probably would have made it. You know, I was telling somebody else about this. That one song that you thought sucked would be the one that the masses will gravitate to. That's crazy, but it happened.
I've had people say it, like songs that I thought were not good at all. Mine. And people were like, what are you talking about? That's dope. I'm like, I mean, I guess so. But I mean, if I'm not feeling it, though, you know what I'm saying? Like, the chances of other people feeling it are lessened. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. At any point, because I know when I talked to a few other hip hop artists, did you ever get with a crowd and you guys do like the little hip hop battles at school or anything?
Yeah. Yeah, battling. Yeah, I did it a little bit when I was younger. I stopped because I got a temper. You know, I got a temper and I got a short fuse, and that's not a good combination for battle rapping. You know what I'm saying? Like the last time I battle rapped a guy, I broke his jaw because he said some stuff that. Yeah, you feel me? You feel me? You see your reaction to that? and he didn't say nothing about me personally. He just said something about Tacoma, you know, the city I live in. You know what I'm saying? And I was born in Seattle, so I was in Tacoma at the time. And he just said something disrespectful about the city that I was living in, and I took it offensive, and I just swung at him, you know. And that's not a good thing for battle rapping. You gotta be able to take your composure and actually take the crap these guys are giving you.
Absolutely.
I wasn't good at that part.
Because I don't think I could. I can handle it myself. I never tried it. And I don't think I would, because they do say some really dirty things. You gotta be able to handle
definitely. You gotta have tough skin to. I mean, it's not that I don't have tough skin, but I just know my limits. You know what I'm saying?
So what was the transition like coming from when you were a teenager and, you know, playing around with battle rap here and there and your love for hip-hop started? How has that transition been for you until now? You know, what has happened to get you to this point?
Enough has happened for me to forget a couple things. But it's been fun, actually. I mean, from the days of recording in basements and back bedrooms, and we've recorded in some really nice, you know, $1 million studios. We've done a lot of shows. You know, we've traveled. It's been actually pretty good. Like, I think if it wasn't for hip hop, like, I probably would have never done half the things that I've done today. You know, I've been to Chicago, I've been to Nevada, you know, through California, you know, I've been blessed to travel and meet so many awesome people as a direct result of being a hip hop artist.
Gotcha, and that's awesome. I was reading a bit. Of your biography. Now, I want to ask you a question. Did you get a chance to work with any mainstream hip hop artists?
I'm sorry, what was that? Oh, mainstream. I've opened up for some old school cats. Spice One. I've opened for Spice One a couple of times. I rocked with Rapper Forte. I actually met Rapper Forte in the studio, which was, for me, super surreal, you know, because I'm a Tupac fan, you know, so,
fight
one of his boys, you know what I mean? Rapper Forte was one of his boys, so to have a guy like that in the studio, he actually called my phone. Like, that was the trippiest day to pick up my phone and Rapper Forte is on alien line, you know, and obviously I was like, nah, man, you lying, man, you know? And I hung up the phone. And I called my homeboy because Rapper Forte said he was up at the studio, you know, so I called my homeboy at the studio and he said, yeah, this is him, and he called me back and I talked it out with him for a couple minutes, and then I went up to the studio, and it was actually wild because we were smoking at the studio, and I kept trying to pass this man the blunt, you know, like 100 times, and I swear he told me 100 times, I don't smoke weed, bro, I don't smoke.
Wow.
I met Coolio. Oh man, that was pretty interesting.
What was that like meeting Coolio?
Just as wild as you imagine, man. He was right after his concert at Jazz Bones here in Tacoma, and you know, he's a nice dude, but, you know, he's animated, you know. How you see him on TV, he's animated like that. That's how he is for real. But it was cool. It was surreal for me because, like I say, he's one of the guys, you know, that I listened to as a kid too. You know, so
right.
It was a trip meeting him in person.
I can imagine. All right. The next question is: What was your very first track that you recorded for publishing? What was the first track that you published?
It was called It was called That's What's Up. It was actually, I think I might have it somewhere. There's somewhere around here still. It was called That's What's Up.
How did it do?
Three verses. It was all right. It did actually get pretty good, like, locally. Like, a lot of people were digging it. Like, and that's kind of how it, you know, I kept going. Like, there was part of the reason why I kept going in music is because, you know, people was like, hey, that's a good song. You know, I really like that, you know. Except for the majors. Like, none of the big stations would touch it. I sent it out to, like, Cube back in the day and stuff like that. But at the time, even still now, like, that language is a huge thing. But at the time, I had no idea, like, there was language barriers for radio and stuff like that.
Right.
But they was like, what's his name? One of the guys that did the Sunday Night Sound Sessions, not Jay Moore, DJ Hyphen was like, it's a cool record, but, you know, we can't really play that kind of stuff on air. And I was a young dude at the time, so, like, I didn't think to get it edited. I was just like, dude, what you mean you ain't gonna play up our record?
Yes, that still goes on, you know.
Yeah.
It still goes on. They don't understand, you know, the younger ones, they don't understand that, you know, if you really trying to get into the market, you got to give us something to play, because everybody doesn't play cursing, you know.
Right. It took a while.
So, right. So I'm going to ask you one more question before we go into halftime. Now that you're where you are now, is there anything that you would have, or, you know, if you could have changed anything from your transition as a teenager to now, what would it be? Would you have changed anything?
Hands down, study the business sooner. I think, like, that's, like, the one thing that artists fail to do, and you know what's messed up about it, is that I was told a long time ago, make sure I understand the business, and I kind of disregarded it. I blew it off, you know what I'm saying, because I was focused on just making music and having fun, whatever.
Yeah.
But I would definitely tell artists, you know, learn the business, everything you can about it. Because music is cool, but if you don't know what to do with it, or you know, how to monetize it and how to, you know, make use of it, then it's just a hobby.
Exactly. Great, and we're going to go into more details about you know, some advice for the indies after we take our break. We are already up on halftime.
Wow.
And what we're going to do, is introduce. The song by Real Life is called Trying to Get It. So if this is your first time hearing or knowing anything about him, you're going to really love this track. So we're going to go ahead and start playing it, but make sure you come
produced
back.
Produced by Thirds.
Say that again.
Produced by Thirds.
Produced by Thirds?
Yeah, the record is produced by Thirds.
All right. So make sure you guys come back. Don't go anywhere, because when we get back, he's going to be giving you some advice for the independent artists. So make sure you guys come back. And once again, this is Real Life with Trying to Get It.
Try and get it, how I'm living, so I handle business. God is my witness, handle business every day and night. Yeah, try and get it, how I'm living, so I handle business. God is my witness, handle business till I get it right. Yeah, got a lot riding on me, no need for added pressure. That's why I put the strap on the dresser. Now I'm busting at him with the wordplay. Grown man status, no mods with the gangbang. Bury my C-Rag with my little brother Day Day. Now I spend my time writing rhymes, hoping to get the fans to sing that with me. The game is shifty, gotta be cautious when I'm moving, and aware that I'm in a business with a millionaire that's trying to do it. Regurgitating out of though, we only make improvements. Try my best to be a positive influence, but sugarcoating truth to the youth is useless. So I give it to them real, they respect me when I do it. They influenced by the movements of the coolest cats grooving, so I stay in the groove, tiny seed when I'm moving. Losing out an option, got the town on my shoulder, ready for the ride, microphone in the holster. Try and get it, how I'm living, so I handle business. God is my witness, handle business every day and night. Yeah, try and get it, how I'm living, so I handle business. God is my witness, handle business till I get it right. Yeah, try and get it, how I'm living, how I'm living, how I'm living.
business. God is my witness, handle business every day and night. Yeah. Up to the birds chirp, trying to make the words work. Never settle for less, cause I know what my words worth. The truth is what I'm telling. Them guys just embellish. Falling on a rap song, but living with their parents. It's apparent that the truth is a hard pill to swallow. So I pray to the fans, if these rappers see tomorrow, then tomorrow, when the sunlight is high on the horizon, look at them real close to see the crease from their disguise. Word to the masses, they lying to your. See for yourself, take off them rose-colored glasses. Them guys is all actors. He threw them like Casper, controlled by puppet masters. Uncle Sam's. Yeah, that's really real.
Once again, that is Real Life and Trying to Get It. Welcome back, everybody. Once again, Real Life, we really do appreciate you coming on our show. We really do. Because now we're going to get in, no doubt. Now we're going to get into the topic of hip-hop and politics, this project that you're involved in. So tell us a little more about that.
It was organized by Helen Kane. In an effort, so hip hop and politics has been always been, you know, gone hand in hand, and over the years, like in within the genre, it's kind of lost that, you know, it's kind of lost its way in that respect,
right.
And so you know, Helen gathered up a bunch of artists that she feels is you know, back on that wavelength or going down that direction, and wanted to bring us together and you know, get to talking about some of these issues that we got going on in the world and bring the light like hip hop used to do back in the day. You know, it's like a news outlet, you know what I'm saying? So she wanted to make sure that it wasn't a forgotten aspect of the game. And we appreciate her for that 100% because I agree with her. Me and Seven had this talk the other day that artists, you know, like myself and others need to get back to that, start talking about politics in the game and what's going out here in the streets and in the real world. And it's not all lean and popping pills and partying.
Absolutely. And I think that's a part of our problem as a community is we're using that stuff to mask the pain versus speaking out about what's really going on. And I want to ask you, so how has that been working? Are you guys, is the organization getting bigger? Or how is that working out for you guys?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm definitely getting bigger. It's always growth. Like there's, like we said, there's no way to go but up. You know what I'm saying? Like we can't go backwards to where we used to be. So we're trying to change the things that we can, you know, like Helen, for example, you know, she does a lot of work with kids, you know what I mean? She's not focused necessarily on the older generation, but the next one, you know, because they're the ones who are going to come up and back to the new artists and stuff like that. It's like I was having a conversation with a friend and basically said that they are, the new generation are the drug consumers that we basically talked about in the music and back in the day. You know, we used to talk about selling drugs and stuff like that, and now kids talking about doing drugs, you know, so we're kind of partly responsible for that. And You know, so it's important that we change that narrative. You know, it's on us, like, to change that narrative. And no one's going to do it for us. The industry surely ain't going to do it for us because it's a money machine for them.
Right.
Yeah. So it's important that we get back to doing that.
I appreciate you guys coming together for that cause, and I really do appreciate Helen Kane. She is one amazing woman, you know, and she has a heart of gold. So mad love to her. And this project, I wanted to know, I know it right now, is you guys are doing this in Tacoma, Washington, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah, it took place a couple of days ago, the first one.
First one, okay. So now, are you guys going to start taking this from state to state, or do you not know yet?
I would have to ask you speak to, or you would have to speak to Helen Cannon directly about that one. I don't know what the plan is as of yet, but I'm sure once she gets that going, she'll repeat me to the game.
Yeah, she'll probably keep me informed. Okay, so we talked about the hip hop and politics, and like you said, personally, I know that's where hip hop was in the beginning. You know, we spoke about the community, spoke about how we were treated by the government, and which I believe
police
is partly.
And,
go ahead.
Yeah, like we spoke about the community unity, you know, and protection from the police the criminals in the hood, like, you know, hip hop artists weren't supporting all, you know, just the heathens and shit. Excuse my language, you know, but there was a time when it wasn't all about killing each other and busting guns and whatnot too, you know, and there was that too. And then the youth now, like, it's like I said, it's a direct result. Like, we we can't really get too mad at them because we're talking about, you know, similar things back in the day. They're just saying it a different way now.
Right. You're absolutely right. All right, so at this part of the interview, now is the time that we want to speak to the independent artists that are out there now trying to, you know, just trying to grind and figure their way out. I'd like for you to give them some advice on what you think could help them.
As far as, like I said earlier, like the business, like learn the business as much as you can about the business, you know, distribution, publishing, royalties, and the different revenue streams. You know, it's a lot different now than it was then. There's a lot more revenue streams for younger artists out there, and professionalism. Oh man, I can't stress that enough. Like, listen, it's you could be the artist. Hardest, you know, dude on the block, right? But that don't matter to none of these venues, to these you know, these radio stations and stuff like that. Like, you know, if you go up in there acting like you know King Kong, you know, there's a good chance they're gonna throw you out or not even want to work with you. You know what I'm saying? And if no one's gonna want to work with you, then your chances of expanding lessen. You know, so be professional. You know what I'm saying? Keep your composure when you go to these spots and do your business, because this is a business, you know?
Absolutely. And I've been preaching that for years. You got to treat it like you're going for a corporate job. You know what I'm saying? You want to look good, talk good. You got to make sure
you ain't got to be. You ain't got to be corporate, but, you know, you got to have an understanding. Like, you know, because, you know, the Jay-Z's and Lil Wayne's and, you know, even like Juveniles and even like guys like Sebo, I don't know if you know who Sebo is, but even Sebo, you know what I'm saying, he's a gangster, you know what I'm saying, but even Sebo conduct himself professionally when it comes to the business, you know what I mean?
Right. That's what I'm saying, you know, be professional. Like, even the Rick Ross, and I'm talking about Freeway.
Not the other one, that guy.
Right, we're talking about the real Rick Ross, Freeway.
Ricky.
This dude was just locked up in prison, but he came out and he handled business. This dude does lectures in colleges. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he still shows his intelligence. So you got to stay on top of your game, like you said, you know, you can be hard where you are, but when you're dealing with people or businesses,
yeah.
you got to be professional. Nobody's going to want to fool with you.
Right.
That's all to it. Not even me. You know, if you come at me
right.
wrong, hey, you can keep on trying.
Not anybody. No, I'm saying me
but
too. You know, like, I'm not going to want to do business with you if you're, you know, you're... Can't say the word, you know, but you know, I ain't gonna do business with you if you, you know.
Absolutely. So, real life.
It's not personal. Yes, ma'am.
Right. If anybody wants to book you or talk more to you about this hip hop and politics, can you give them the links or just, you know, where they can locate you and the name on social media?
Yes. So, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and my Bandcamp, where my music, you can buy my music, is all at Real Life 253. That's R-E-A-L-I-F-E 253. You can find me in all that stuff. And then for booking, like, just hit my email, booking at Real Life, booking Real Life at yahoo.com.
All right, guys, make sure that you go and look him up. And your fan page, is it Real Life? Do you have a fan
yes,
page
ma'am.
On Facebook?
Real Life 253. Yeah, that's it, Real Life 253 on Facebook, Twitter,
yeah.
Instagram, all that, everything.
Everything.
Keep it consistent.
There you go. That's thank you for stressing that. Make sure when you guys are creating your social media pages, links or whatever, use the same artist name. So when somebody search for you, you come up everywhere with the same name. It helps out with your brand. So make sure you go and like his fan page, get his likes up, reach out to him, reach out to Ms. Helen Kane. If you're interested in becoming a part of Hip Hop and Politics, believe me, I believe this movement is going to go far. So get on it now while the flame has just been lit.
Yes, yes, we're available for booking. Hit me up.
All right. So, Real Life, we're about to end the interview. Is there anything else you would like to say before we work out? Any shout outs or anything?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Shout out to my team, Crown of Kings, Seven of Panther, DJ Escrow, Lil Coco, Thurge Productions, Ms. Lala, and Chris Crew, shout out K Unique, shout out to, Washington, Northwest, Tacoma, Hip Hop. And you, thank you for your time. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, man, we appreciate you. And once again, we want to thank you for coming on the show. We want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. Like I said before, please go and like his fan page and go and look up Helen Kane if you want to be a part of it. And we're going to go ahead and end this show. And at this point, of course, artists, if you are looking to get your track heard, visit the website, www.partytrainradio.com, and get your tracks in so we can get you on air worldwide. And with that being said, we are out. Thanks again, Real Life.